Welcome this morning, everyone here and everyone online. We're really, really thankful to be here together. Thank you.
Who you are.
darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lives, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lives, so we.
Father, we're thankful that you're a great and wonderful God. Not a God to run from, but a God that we run to. Then we run to you because, well, you are in charge of everything. You're sovereign. But we run to you because there is that center point in us that yearns to connect with you. yearns to answer the question of eternity. And we find all that we need in who you are, your nature, and your character. You are, God, worthy of our praise, our very best effort. And Jesus, we're sorry when we have not given our best effort in the last week. Oh, it's not that all of that is a sin, yet it wasn't our best effort. And in that group, there is definitely our sin. Sometimes we're just bystanders to what you want us to do. But Lord, other times we're retreating, we're moving away, we're doing wrong, we're sinning. And we're thankful that one of the great things about you is that you're a forgiver of sins, our sins. And we realize that only you can cleanse our soul and our spirit, our heart and our mind, what we say and what we do. Lord, your grace is sufficient for us. It is a necessary part of what it means to be your people. That as you have lavished grace upon us, we're able to extend that grace to other people. And Jesus, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we are counting our blessings. We're adding up all the great things, all the good things, all the positive things, all the places where you have made a difference, all the places and relationships where, as you have blessed us, we've been able to be a blessing to others. And we want to thank you for that, for who you are and all that you do in us and through us. Jesus, we want to pray for those that are near and dear to us, all the way to those that we've never met, the invisible members of your family. Lord, we pray for our leaders, our country, our region. Lord, we pray that as we enter further into this Thanksgiving weekend, that we will take the time to thank you. For you are the giver of every good thing that we have in our life. How awesome you are. Lord, as we desire to be your people this morning, be in our midst. Lord, as we worship you, we want to worship you both in truth and in spirit. And Lord, especially today, we want to honor you. Help us to feel your presence, your power, and your peace that passes all human circumstances and understanding. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's thank those leading us in worship. Amber, it's always great to have you on the violin. I want to welcome those of you that are on live stream. I'd encourage you to join the chat. Welcome those around you as you're seated this morning. I do have a few announcements for you. Thank you, Michael. So I want you to know that our crew, led by Melody Wilson, we put together 420 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. Yes! I also want to thank you for your giving to the foster care stocking stuffer event. It's not completed yet, so I don't know what the total number will be there, but it's happened because of your generosity. Our new thing starting today is the Mission Christmas Tree. Now, let me give you a little instruction. The bottom line is we have over 20 individual missionaries that we support, and at Christmas time, we like to give them a Christmas gift. So what we do is, as you donate money to the Christmas Tree Fund, what we do is divide that up equally amongst our missionaries. So when you go over and take off an ornament, that's the person you're to pray for from now until the beginning of the new year. You just make your check out to the mission tree. You can go online, and starting today, in terms of electronic giving, digital giving, you can do that online, and you'll be able to find a pull down that says mission tree, and you can identify your contribution to that fund on your computer and send it off. And at the end of the year, we'll gather it up, divide it up, and mail it out to our missionaries. I do also want you to know that our Christmas celebration is on its way. We have a card, and you'll see on the front of this card the dates that we're doing our Christmas celebration. Friday, December 10th at 7 p.m., Saturday, December 11th at 2 p.m., and then Sunday, December 12th at 9 and 11 p.m. Oh, a.m., sorry. Not p.m. You'll also see on the back the information about our family-friendly Christmas Eve service in this building at 5:30, and then a traditional candlelight and communion service over in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. We want you to invite those around you, so we have extra cards. And if you'd like to pick up a few and give a personal invitation to someone this next week or the week after that to come and be a part of what we're doing. We're looking forward to having a great Christmas and a great Christmas celebration. Ed Tulloch is here. He's one of our former missionaries that has retired to SQUIM, and if you want to hear some really interesting stories, ask Ed to go out to lunch with you. You buy, and he'll tell you great stories.
We got an interesting chunk of one of Paul's letters today. He does some things that he doesn't necessarily do as a rule. We're looking at 2 Corinthians. And we're looking at the fifth chapter and verses, I'm sorry, that's the 11th chapter, verses 23 to 28. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at the sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. Faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 to 18. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ.
It's Thanksgiving weekend. Yay! We're going to get through the whole week, and we're going to be, well, thankful people. Now, we're on lap two of the holiday season during COVID, and here's what I've noticed. We're gaining a few more optimists versus pessimists when it comes to, well, enjoying the holidays, getting back to some kind of new normal. Now, I think it's true. You can kind of categorize people into, well, either being a pessimist or an optimist. Now, a pessimist is a person that thinks, well, the worst is happening and it's not going to change. Oh, we're going to be like this forever and ever and ever. And well, I could give you a long list of comments that I've heard that are very pessimistic comments. And yes, it's true that pessimists are not born. They are made by the hard hits, by the difficulties, the challenges in life. Then there's the optimist. Now, pessimists think optimists are just soft-headed people, that they've got their head in the clouds, that they're really not anchored in anything real in the world, and, well, that's really not so. An optimist is a person that believes that the best is up ahead, that where we presently are might not be all that pleasant, but there is a pleasant circumstance up ahead, a pleasant life up ahead. And we know this, when it comes to optimists, the world loves an optimist. Someone who believes that in life the best is up ahead, and that should be first and foremost us as Christians. We ought to all be optimists. Why should we be optimists? Well, number one, we worship a God that is for us and not against us, which is not how everyone else looks at it, but that's the truth of the Bible, and we align with that God loves us, and God does have a great plan for us, a path for us to walk. Number two, we don't have to be overly anxious and worried because we know that God is in control, and that our destiny ultimately is sealed in Jesus Christ, the work that he did for us on the cross. And number three, we are people that have a divine resource known as the Holy Spirit, who is accessible to us every moment of every day. Yeah, we ought to be optimists and not pessimists. Our scripture passage is pretty clear about that. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, and 17. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, we all have a little bit of trouble finding God's will in the midst of what we're dealing with. But I think Paul is on point here. He is making it very clear that, well, we have to choose what kind of person we're going to be. The potential is there, but we have to choose to be more optimistic. We have to choose to believe that the best in our life is up ahead, not behind us. And that's true in our day-to-day life, but it's also true in terms of eternity. And as we take that perspective on, as we settle into the realities that God is for us, that God has a plan for us, and that we can be empowered day-to-day by this divine resource, the Holy Spirit, as we put those into play in our life, then it's going to bring us to the optimistic side. But we have to choose that. Remember, pessimists are not born, they're made. And they're made by the choices that they make. And today I want you to see how Paul has laid out a way of living, an attitude that when we choose that, we're going to be very optimistic about what God is doing and what God will continue to do, not only now, but for all eternity. Yeah, it's a choice. Choice number one, Paul says, is you have to choose to be joyful. Verse 16, always be joyful. And I like the always because there are obviously situations in life that in and of themselves are not really, well, all that happy, all that easy, all that comfortable. And notice Paul doesn't say, oh, when it's all going well, be really joyful, but when life becomes difficult, stop being joyful. He doesn't say that. He says, be joyful all the time. It's a little bit like what Paul says about peace. It passes all human understanding. When we're joyful in difficult and challenging circumstances in life, people might look at us as though we're a little odd, a little unique. The world doesn't respond with joy all the time, but we're called to always be joyful. Now, here's the truth about joyful people. Some people believe, those pessimists, they believe that the people who are really joyful kind of have their head in the sand. They don't realize that joyful people are people who have been knocked down in life. But they choose to not stay down. They are people that have had the worst in life happen to them. And they choose, instead of passing that on and being stuck in that moment, they choose to move beyond it. They just don't let the worst get the best of them. We get knocked down in life. We experience things that they're horrible, awful, unjust, shouldn't happen. But they do. And in the challenge of life, we have to choose always to be joyful. Now, Paul's a great example of this. Add this up sometimes. That's a lot of trouble. The other thing I love to say about this passage is that as I read through this, just imagine if you were Paul's close friend. He's a tough guy to have as a friend. Listen. Five times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rod. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent the whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities and in the deserts and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty. I have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothes to keep me warm. Then besides all of this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Not an easy life. Difficult circumstances, difficult people. Yet it's this same Paul that says in verse 18, "For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." It's the will of God. God is in control. God loves us. God has a path for us. God has sealed eternity for us. And so how would we respond if we were like Paul and all of these bad things happened to you? Yeah, I'm not sure I'd always be joyful. In fact, even what we're experiencing now, I have days where I got to kind of feel around for it. I know there's joy around here somewhere. I just have to find it. It's hard for us to gather and say, this is God's will for us. But I can tell you, this is God's will for us. And we can be an angry pessimist about it, or we can be a joyful optimist about it. Realizing that God is moving us forward on a path. And it's a good path. As I've shared before, it's a personal path as well. God has created a path just for you and for me and for us. It's easy to be joyful when everything is good and easy and positive. It is another thing, as we're commanded here, to choose to always be joyful. And I can tell you, I'm not. Last night, I was scooting along, and I slipped at the top of our stairs. I was not very joyful when I hit the steps, slid down to the landing. Yeah, that's not good for a person with a bad back, I can tell you. Not very joyful about that. Why? It's awful. It's painful. Okay, it's stupid. I should have put my hand on the rail. We are in a challenging time. We have to choose joy. We have to look optimistically, and why not, at what's up ahead. Whenever we face difficult things, and please hear this, even when we sin, that does not cancel out the will of God for our life. Our great God knows how to take our mistakes and our faults and our failures and our sin and move us along in life. Wow, and if he can do that, Well, he can move us forward in what we're facing today. And we'll face it tomorrow, and we'll be masked at least till the first of the year. We can get all pessimistic about it, which usually makes us a little angry and frustrated and stressed and depressed. Or we can choose to always be joyful, find the joy in the moment. Why do we miss the joy? Because we're not doing part number two, and that is that we should continually be in prayer. Now, it's true, we should have a time of prayer, but we should also pray throughout the day. Paul says, always be joyful and what? Never stop praying. Yeah, you got to kind of pray your way through the day. You got to stop and remind yourself through the day. And the great thing about most joyful people around me, they're people of prayer. They realize that whatever they face in a moment is only for a moment. I got to say it again the other day when I was at the Y. I roll in there and no one knows who I am, especially with masks on. And I'm quiet so they can't recognize my voice. And one of the men in the locker room said, well, got up on the right side of the grass today. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'm one of those people that believe that there's no wrong side of the grass. And he looked at me, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, if I'm vertical and ventilating, I know God's got something for me to do. But I know if I'm looking at roots, I will not look at them for very long. In a twinkling of an eye, I'll be from this world to the next world, to eternity. We have a hope, and therefore we should be people of prayer. A few more verses about continually praying. Pray always, Ephesians 18. Continue in prayer, Colossians 4:2. Keep on praying, Romans 12:12. And there are great benefits of being a person of prayer. Isn't there? Yeah. Helps us to feel God's presence, power, and his peace. Our prayer changes things. It changes circumstances. It changes relationships. As we pray, God gives us guidance. Through prayer, God mends the brokenhearted. Through prayer, God changes our heart, our attitude, our spirit. God provides for us through our prayers. And the list goes on. No wonder Paul says this. He says, be joyful and then be prayerful. And as we pray, one of the things we ought to do is what? Be thankful. Be thankful. The best antidote, the best prescription for being pessimistic or feeling down is to count your blessings. Look for your blessings around you. Verse 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. In all circumstances. And I think if we're honest, we all have difficulty. It's a challenge for us to be thankful when things don't seem to be going our way. when they're not easy, when they're negative, when they're bad, when they're evil. Horrendous, horrific. There are blessings in each and every day. We just need to look for them, feel around for them, ask God to bring them to our memory. The world is good at making us ungrateful, unthankful people. And why should evil win? The best pushback to evil and difficulty is that we're joyful people of prayer who are counting their blessings, looking for their blessings. And that has everything to do with what we're focusing on. Are we focused just on the moment about the difficulty that we're in? Or as I said the other day, our best outlook is a good uplook, a divine uplook. We become myopic many times because life is filled with, at times, maybe even a series of things that are not positive, not good, even evil. And that draws our focus to that and we take our eyes off of Jesus. Off the God who wants to bless us. Our ability to make a list of our blessings and count them up is truth positive that God is for us and not against us. That God does have a path for us that leads to eternity, and we're never alone because we've got the Holy Spirit with us every step of the way. Every step of the way. Optimistic people are always looking for the good in difficult and bad circumstances. And how do you look for the good when you don't really feel like it? Well, joy is a choice. Prayer is a choice. Counting up your blessings is a choice. These are the things that Paul says, when you choose these things, you can face almost anything. You'll be positioned to see the good that is just up ahead. It puts us in a place in life where we've grabbed a hold by faith, trusting, hoping that God is not finished with us yet. That there's more for God to do in us and through us. And I'm like you, I get off track in difficult times. Nothing writes us onto God's path better than always being joyful, always being prayerful, always being thankful. Let us pray. Lord, you know us all too well. It is easy for us to be joyful, to be in prayer, and to be full of thanksgiving when things are going easy, going our way, they're positive. But Lord, when life is not up and to the right, well, that's the challenging time. Help us to focus on the good. Help us look optimistically to what you will do, because you are acting. You are moving us and your church forward in these challenging times. Lord, we're We're very thankful, and that list of things that we're thankful for is very long. And well, Lord, we thank you because you are the giver of every good thing that we have, that we get to experience, not only now, but for all eternity. What a great God you are. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Feel free to stand and worship with us.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned.
pray that you can go and have a wonderful week and see the joy that he has for you every day.